Josh is going to be bringing a message
to us, and I'm excited about hearing from God's Word today from Josh. Josh recently finished his seminary education, and we're very proud of you and thank the Lord for his faithfulness to you and to your family as you did the work and have received the affirmation of graduation. And in light of that, it's our honor to ordain Josh to the gospel ministry. That'll happen on November the 11th. Is it the 11th or the 12th? The 12th, November the 12th in our morning service. There'll be an ordination council that meets that morning at 8 o'clock to meet with Josh and to encourage him and to hear from him. But on that Sunday, we'll celebrate Josh's ordination to the gospel ministry. And I want to say, Robertsville, that it's a real privilege to be able to be a part of a minister's life in that way, for the church of the Lord to be able to lay its ordaining hands upon someone that the Lord has called to serve him. And so we'll be doing that on November the 12th. Y'all be lifting up a prayer for Josh and have open hearts and open minds as he shares from God's Word today. Josh, you come.
As most of you know, there we go. As most of you know, Casey and I have two kids. Harrison is now 3 years old, which is crazy to think about how quickly time flies. And then Haley is 3 months old. And it's fun to see the different stages of life that they're in. Harrison right now is in that stage of life where he wants to play all day long. Mommy, Daddy, can you play with me? He wants to play Legos. He wants to color. He wants to draw. He wants to throw a ball back and forth. And we do. We play with him as much as we're able to. And with Haley, she is in that phase right now where she does not want to be set down. She is in what I like to call koala mode. She's fine. You hold her. You know, she's been fed. She's been burped. Everything's good. And she's like just looking around and you set her down. And within seconds, she's just like wailing as if, you know, yeah, it's just the way it is. It's that phase that she's in. And she just wants to be held. They both of them in their own way, I was thinking about this kind of in their own way, when they say, Daddy, can you play with me? And when she's crying to be held, they're saying, I want to spend time with you. I want to spend quality time with you. It's not so much about the game that we're playing. It's the time that we get to connect and have fun together. And it's not so much that an individual is holding her, per se. It's the fact that she feels loved. She knows that she's cared for. Today, we're going to talk about connection with our Heavenly Father and what quality time with Him looks like. We're going to be in John chapter 1. So go ahead and turn there if you'd like, starting in verse 35. We'll also go to a few other scriptures throughout this time, like in Psalms and Isaiah. But we're going to start in John chapter 1. The next day, again, John, this is John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus and walked by and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, What are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know that you're in this place. Jesus, we know that you're in this place and you're speaking to us. We just ask that our ears would be open to hear what it is that you're already saying. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at verse 36. John looked at Jesus and he walked by and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. Now, in church today, we use that phrase quite a bit, the Lamb of God. But I'm not sure if we realize the significance of him saying that back then. There are a lot of times that lambs were used in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not the expert, per se, on the different sacrifices in Leviticus and stuff like that. But I do know of at least two times that lambs are used. The sacrifice of the Passover lamb. You remember the original Passover where they sacrificed a male lamb without blemish, and then they would put the blood over the doorway to protect them when the Passover occurred so they wouldn't receive the judgment. So that's one example of what he could have been referring to when he said the lamb. But another one I think rings true is the Day of Atonement. In the Old Testament, the high priest, this is one day a year, would go into the Holy of Holies. That's the only day he was allowed in there. And he would sacrifice the animal and make atonement for the sins of the people of Israel for the last year. So when John is saying the Lamb of God, it's significant because he's not saying that the Lamb of a high priest. He's saying the Lamb of God. And it's significant because it's not just wiping away the sins of Israel, it's wiping away the sins of the entire world. And not just for the last year, but for all time. If you look up in verse 29 of the same chapter, the next day, this is the previous day actually, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So that's what he's referring to. That's the context that he's referring to when he says that. Verse 37, the disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. This is kind of interesting to me. They stopped following John to follow Jesus. You think that there was anything wrong with them following John? I mean, not really, per se, but I guess what I'm trying to say is this. They left what was good in order to follow what was the greatest. Even good things can distract us from following Jesus. Now, we don't follow rabbis around here, so it's hard sometimes to relate to that. Maybe in terms that we could understand, think of good things that are in your life that can get in the way. Sometimes hobbies, sports, football. There's nothing wrong with football. Football can be a good thing. But if it comes between my relationship with God, between me and my relationship with God, then it does become an issue. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's you're desiring to be really good at your job. And that's a great thing. There's nothing wrong with being good at your job. But if you pursue your job more than you pursue Christ, then it becomes not a good thing. What it means is that we've misplaced our priorities. All of a sudden, the job became first, and then Christ became second. The order, the priority is wrong. Even people can distract us from God. This is one that's hard to sometimes grasp. You ever heard people like spouses, or a lot of times boyfriend and girlfriend will say this on TV and stuff. They'll be like, "I love you so much. I can't live without you. I can't breathe without you." I mean, that works for Lifetime movies, I guess. But it's kind of borderline like idolatry. Like, I can't live without you? No, that's where Christ is supposed to be. He's supposed to be the one that is first. And then everyone else is second. So when Christ is first, everything else falls into place. Michael, go ahead and go with the next slide. When Christ is first, everything else falls into place. It's not that we can't love other people, but did you know? You probably do, but maybe just as a reminder, when I am spending time with God, I'm a better spouse. You're a better spouse. When you're spending time with God and connecting with him and growing, you're a better parent. So it's easy to focus on the person and say, I need to focus on this relationship. And then sometimes we focus on it so much, we don't focus at all on our relationship with God. And it doesn't seem to get much better. But if we put the priority with Christ first, then this stuff just kind of seems to take care of itself. Verse 38, Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" When I read this, that phrase has been in my mind almost every day this week. When I get up, I'm getting ready, I just hear, "What are you seeking? What am I seeking?" We spend a lot of time seeking plenty of things. Maybe you're trying to get financially stable or financially comfortable. Maybe that's what you're seeking, money. Maybe you're seeking to impress others. And so everything that you do, all your actions, your attitudes, are towards impressing others. It changes the way that you dress. It changes the way you talk and the way that you act. And normally, it's not in a good way. Maybe you're trying to seek escape. Life can be pretty difficult sometimes. It's easy to want to escape. You ever binge watch a TV show and you watch like a whole season and you don't know what happened to the time? What about stress eating? There's substances people use to escape, behaviors people use to numb out. Last one, maybe we're seeking safety. Maybe it's a different angle. Maybe we're trying to avoid and withdraw from everybody else so that we can kind of create this false sense of safety rather than relying on Christ for our protection. So are we seeking all these things, or are we seeking Jesus? Do you really want to get to know the Lord better? Do I want to get to know the Lord better? Are we seeking a deeper relationship with him? The disciples asked where he was staying in verse 38. They wanted to get to know him. They wanted to spend time with him. It sounds weird to kind of say it, but they just wanted to hang out with him. Like, they just wanted to be with him. Let's turn now to Psalm, the book of Psalms, chapter 63. Psalm 63, verses 1, and then we'll jump around a little bit. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And then down in verse 5. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. We'll stop there. Oh God, earnestly I seek you. Can you say that about your relationship with God? Do you earnestly seek God? Are you thirsty for Jesus? Are you thirsty for the Holy Spirit to move and to work through you in your life? We were made for that relationship with God. We were made for connection with God. Have you ever had maybe just hung out with a friend and just had a really good time? Maybe you went and did something together or just got some lunch, had really good conversation, and afterward you were like, man, that was just a good conversation. That's what it's about right there. That's what God wants with us. I think sometimes we hear quiet time and we hear spending time with Jesus and we kind of think it's a drag or we think it's a chore. Or maybe we think too academically, like, oh, I've got to be a Bible scholar or something. God wants to just hang out with us. He wants to get to know us. I mean, he knows us, but you know what I mean? He wants us to get to know him, I guess would be a better way of saying it. He wants us to get to know him through his word, through prayer, through just being with him, through genuine connection. That's how we start walking in step with him. With his spirit. It starts with quality time with the Lord, and then we can just continue being aware of God and being listening for his spirit. I love this right here. Verse 5, my soul will be satisfied with fat and rich food. How many of you, we got about a month until Thanksgiving. How many of you really like Thanksgiving dinner? All right, let's see. Who are the people who eat turkey? Only turkey. Okay. Only ham. Either turkey or ham. How about both turkey and ham? Yeah, there we go. What about rolls? Oh, yeah. Corn on the cob. Stuffing. Pumpkin pie? Yeah. I'm hungry now. After we eat, at least for me, when I eat Thanksgiving dinner, I'm just stuffed. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. I just feel like bliss, honestly, from a physical standpoint. Jesus Christ is our daily bread and living water. He feeds our soul and our spirit when we spend quality time with him. That's what our soul and our spirit can feel like if we spend time with him. Michael, go ahead and go to the next slide. So kind of the first big point is seek genuine connection with Jesus. I'm not just saying read your Bible. That's good. That's part of it. But that we don't have a relationship with our Bible. We have a relationship with Jesus. The Bible teaches us about Jesus, but the relationship is with him. So rather than just saying have a quiet time, Seek genuine connection. Seek those moments where you just feel like, man, this is just really good. And just you feel good about the time that you spent with him. So let me ask you, when is the last time you had a genuine connection with God? I'm not saying it to condemn anybody. I'm just want you to honestly ask yourself, what is keeping you from spending time with him? For me, by far, the number one hurdle is busyness. I'm so busy. And maybe that's not you. Maybe there's other things. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you have family concerns or family obligations. Maybe you've got school. Maybe you have work. Maybe you just forget. Sometimes you just kind of forget to spend time with God. Other times, I'll just be honest, I just am selfish. I don't feel like doing it, so I'm not going to. Satan hates it when we genuinely connect with God. He knows he's lost the battle. He has no power over Christ. And the power of Christ is in us. So his aim is to keep us from being fed spiritually. He wants us to run on empty. Because he knows that when we're running on empty, we're not going to be actively walking in the power of the Spirit. That's when he has a chance. So that, for me at least, I feel like the number one thing he attacks me with is try to get me to skip spending time with God. I mean, skip spending real time, like quality time with God. How much gas is in your tank spiritually? Are you running on empty? Maybe you're like, well, I spent time with God last week. That's great. I heard someone say, last week's quiet time is about as helpful as last week's shower. Oh, I don't need to shower today. I showered last Sunday. I'm good. You probably wouldn't want to be around me if I showered last Sunday. And truth be told, you probably don't want to be around me if my last genuine connection with God was weeks ago. We're not ourselves when we're not connected. We end up walking in our flesh. At least I do. Maybe this is just for me. Maybe no one else here has trouble walking in the Spirit every day of their life. I feel convicted about it for myself. If you think about Jesus, he would slip away all the time. It says it in the Gospels. He would slip away to spend time with the Father. Even if you remember when he... after his baptism, he went into the desert and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, spending uninterrupted time with the Father. And it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. That's how we walk in the power of the Spirit, is through that quality connection, that quality time, genuine connection. We want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we don't want to spend time with God. It's just not going to happen, I don't think. Unless God just lays it upon us in that moment. But on a regular basis, if we want to walk in the power of the Spirit, we need to walk with him day by day. Robertsville, I want to challenge us to put genuine connection with God. And I want to challenge myself to put genuine connection with God on a higher priority than where it is currently. It's not a call to be legalistic. It's not a checklist. It's just a call to connection with the God of the universe. God has made time to spend with you today. Maybe we should take the time to spend with him. Michael, go ahead and go to the next slide. When we connect with God, we naturally want to tell others about him. Let's look back in John, verse 41. Andrew went and found his brother Simon, Peter, and said, "We found the Messiah." Nobody had to say to him, go and tell people. He just did it naturally. When you connect with God and you really connect with God, you naturally want to tell people about Jesus. It's meant to be proclaimed. Let's talk about the Messiah / Christ for just a moment. That's another word that we say a lot, but I wonder how much of it we understand the significance for them. That terminology means the chosen one or the anointed one. So if we look in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. there we go. I'm going to kind of jump around just a little bit here. We're going to start in verse 6. This passage is about the coming Messiah. This is what they would have known about. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament. So they didn't have anything else but the Old Testament. The Old Testament was their Bible. So this is all they had to go off of. Verse 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned away, everyone, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Let's kind of jump down a little bit. Verse 10, I'm just going to pick a couple phrases out of here. When his soul makes an offering for guilt. Verse 11, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. And then verse 12, he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. That means, remember when he was on the cross with the two other thieves? He was numbered with thieves. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. So this is the Messiah, the Lamb of God that they probably were thinking of. Now, there's also passages where it talks about the Messiah as the coming king. And I think as we see in the Gospels, a lot of what they understood was they kind of misunderstood. They focused more on Jesus is going to be like our earthly king, like of Israel, and we're going to be back in power again. And they didn't realize that's not the kind of king. That's not just the kind of king he was. He was a bigger king than just the king of the nation physically of Israel. Jesus poured himself out. He endured all these things that it talks about. This is a great chapter to read the whole thing. It starts back at chapter 52, if you ever get the chance to, because it talks so much about Christ. So all of that was to say that, you know, he told his brother, we found the Messiah, meaning we found the one that's going to be the king, the one that's going to pay for our sins, the one that's going to provide forgiveness for us. When we connect with God, we reflect the light of Jesus. Go ahead, Michael, to the next one. This is kind of our last point. When we connect with God, we become a light to others. We reflect the light of Jesus. Think about Moses. When he comes down from Mount Sinai, he's got the Ten Commandments. This is the second time. And it says that his face was shining. His face was shining because he was talking with God. He didn't even know it, but his face was shining. If you look in the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 6, Stephen, right after he'd been arrested, he'd been proclaiming God's word. He'd been, proclaiming the gospel and doing, you know, wonders and signs, healings. And he'd been arrested, and it says in Acts chapter 6, verse 15, and gazing at him, the council, all who sat in the council, saw that his face was like the face of an angel. His face was glowing. When we are in connection with God, we become a light to others. It's not our light. It's the light of Christ within us that shines. It's like a, I don't know the right word for it, not a vase, but, you know, if you get one of those old school candle holders with like the glass covering, we're the glass covering. We're not the light, but the light shines through us. Jesus Christ shines through us. Have you ever been around a Christian that just seemed different, but like in a really good way? Like you could just tell that they spent time with the Lord regularly and that they were really walking with him and that they loved him. It's like they're glowing. I've known different people. Not all of them were pastors. Some of them have been. Some of them are just people out, you know, part of the church that I've known. And just made me want to be like them. Meaning like I wanted to be in love with God the way they were in love with God. We're not seeking a glow. We're not seeking to look like we're shining. That's not it. We're seeking Jesus so much and we're spending time with him so much that we naturally become that light to others. We just can't help ooze the love of Jesus out to others. We share the love of Jesus out of the overflow. Maybe that's another word for glow, is overflow. Are you overflowing with the Spirit today? So I come back to the same question that Jesus asked them, and maybe he's asking us today. What are you seeking? If we seek connection with him first, everything else seems to fall into place. We'll naturally start to tell others about Jesus, our Messiah, and his atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then we naturally start to become a light and reflect Jesus so that when people see us, they want to get to know him better. I mentioned at the beginning Harrison and Haley and how they don't know how to voice it, but they know what it's like to be in connection with their parents, and they seek it earnestly. Let's earnestly seek genuine connection with the Father first, and all those other things will fall into place. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you love us so much. I pray that we would hear your Holy Spirit inviting us to connect with you each and every day. Lord, may we take a step forward in obedience, not because we feel like we have to, not from a feeling of condemnation, but maybe conviction and a desire because we want to know you. We know you, Lord, but we want to know you more. I pray that we would grow in this area. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.